Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Ai Weiwei is China's best-known artist and the sharpest thorn in the side of its government. He's a digital dissident whose installations, viral videos, and tweets mock Chinese censors and have made him an international symbol for freedom.
And what makes you continue doing it?
The reason is very simple. I don't want to be part of this kind of denying of the reality. We live in this time, we have to speak out.
After many attempts to bribe or tame him, the Chinese government turned on Ai Weiwei, charging him with tax evasion, bulldozing the studio he just built in Shanghai, and then, on April 3rd, 2011, he disappeared.
Relief! Ai Weiwei! Relief!
Public interest lawyers, writers, artists, intellectuals, and activists have been arbitrarily detained and arrested. Among them most recently was the prominent artist, Ai Weiwei.
When Ai reappeared almost 3 months later, Alison Clayman was among those to breathe a sigh of relief. The freelance journalist and filmmaker had been following Ai as he made art and made trouble. Her debut documentary feature, Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry, was awarded a special jury prize at Sundance, among other prizes, and premieres tonight on PBS's Independence Lens. We spoke with her to get a fuller picture of the irreverent superstar artist, Ai Weiwei.
Getting to be part of the design team that designed the Bird's Nest Stadium, you know, really put Ai Weiwei on the map. And he took that opportunity to speak out against the games. And he not only did it by speaking to foreign press, but he was also doing it vociferously on his very popular blog. Mm. I like to say, you know, Ai Weiwei discovered the internet in 2005, you know, and he just took to it. He thought it was incredible to have this like megaphone to reach so many people, and that it became this two-way street, and that he was able to get responses and do projects and involve volunteers. Besides the Olympics, the Sichuan earthquake in May 2008 also inspired a strong response from him, both in activism, in art, in underground film. There even was a quick moment when he was like, hey, why don't you join the volunteers? You could go out, you know, help them collect names of children. We have a lot of people filming. And then he very quickly thought better of it because, you know, his volunteers were running into trouble with the police pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. And to send someone who was very visibly a foreigner would just seemed like a stupid idea.
It is interesting. He's told when he calls an official in Sichuan for the death toll of the earthquake, he's told that the toll is a secret. And of course, for him, nothing is a secret. You know, he blogs about it. He puts it out on Twitter. But there is this scene where things kind of catch up with him, at least temporarily. Let's listen to just a clip that Ai Weiwei took himself. This is at about 3 o'clock in the morning. Alison Clayman, what's going on here?
So Ai Weiwei went to Chengdu and was waiting in a hotel. You know, he was asleep at night, ready to testify the next morning on behalf of another activist who was doing very, very similar work to Ai Weiwei. 3 in the morning, the police, you know, swarm essentially his whole floor where he and all of his assistants and friends are. And they are trying to get into his room, and he's sort of arguing with them. Meanwhile, he's turned on a sort of pen recorder in his room. He didn't have a camera in his room, but he had a pen recorder. So it's just the audio, and he's saying, you know, What are you doing coming in the middle of the night? Like, what's your jurisdiction? What's going on? You know, and where's your warrant? All of those sort of things. They burst in, and one of the cops hits him on the head very severely. And he says, you know, what are you guys doing? So now you come in the middle of the night and you hit people? And the immediate response right to his face is, I didn't see anyone hit you. Who hit you? And he said, what are you talking about? It's very clear. I just got hit. What, did I hit myself? I just tore my own clothes? And they said, yes, you must have, because I didn't see anybody hit you. Again, what's so incredible about him, first of all, is his willingness to say these things so bluntly. And then the second is that he really does kind of create these situations by him putting himself on the line. And he doesn't really write the part of the Chinese authorities into what he does. I mean, they write their own part, you know? He shows up. And this is what happens. And he kind of sets up the circumstances.
In fact, there is a scene where he returns to Chengdu, I guess to file a lawsuit, and decides to have a very public outdoor dinner at a place that everyone says, you must eat at this place in Chengdu. And the cops come with their camera. He's got his assistants filming the cop, filming Ai Weiwei. It's like this big sort of, you know, circular media circus. But he has a voice. He has some place to put it out there.
Police in China, it's pretty much a rule that they are supposed to record all of their police activity. So, you know, in that scene when they're eating dinner outside and it's just sort of street level police that come and are trying to get Ai Weiwei to bring the party indoors. And Weiwei says, you know, the food tastes better outside. You know, that we came here for the food. We'll go inside in a little bit. And the cop starts filming them. It's almost like a Western style, you know, sort of like showdown. But instead of guns, it's cameras.
The police doesn't know the power of the image, you know. They have their camera, we have our camera. But their camera is never going to expose to the public. We are going to expose it. So it's not a fair game.
We're speaking with Alison Clayman. She's a freelance journalist and the documentary filmmaker behind Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry. Well, Alison, in addition to being a rabble-rouser, he is a global art star. And just a month after getting hit on the head in Chengdu, your film follows him as he goes to Munich's Haus der Kunst. This is the site of a huge exhibition of his work called So Sorry. Now, outside is this massive installation of 9,000 empty backpacks. And these colored backpacks are arranged into Chinese characters along the facade of the museum. What do these Chinese characters say?
He writes a phrase in Chinese characters that says, "She lived happily on this earth for 7 years." This was said to him by the mother of a victim of the Sichuan earthquake. Again, a student in a school that collapsed. So, of course, it's not that it's necessarily the government's fault that there was an earthquake, but there was a disproportionate number of schools and municipal buildings that came down because of shoddy construction and sort of corrupt building practices. There's so many different, you know, directions you could go with this, and you could go with a statement that's much more angry. But instead, he chooses this, you know, statement of love. You know, it feels really, really personal. It was such an interesting and moving choice.
And the scale of his work is just overwhelming. I mean, there's also at the Tate Modern an installation with 100 million hand-painted porcelain sunflower seeds. These were all manufactured. But he says he has very little involvement with the production of his ideas. He just has the ideas himself. This is something a lot of other artists get criticized for. How does he avoid that criticism?
Well, I think he does get criticized, and I think in modern sort of studio art practices, there tend to be a lot of assistants these days. Certain elements of his works also feel a bit more collaborative than just simply hiring lots of people. The porcelain seeds, for example, are done in this town, Jingdezhen. This town has a long history of being the sort of porcelain works for China. They were the imperial porcelain works, you know, for a long time. And the clay is world-renowned for being excellent for porcelain. It's like a little factory, but it's also sometimes people working at home who might not have any other works to do except maybe these days making fake antiques, you know, and instead he's just employing them in a different way. The one thing that he definitely does himself is it's him on his Twitter feed. You know, nobody else is tweeting. That's always his voice.
Well, he's a very important art maker who's also, as you said, he's turned around quite a few films. By his estimate, I think in the film, about 10 to 15 of his own short films and documentaries. Now, what was it like for you, a filmmaker, to film a filmmaker?
Honestly, the way I felt about everything was, you know, everybody was just a character in my movie. And I think part of it is because I felt like what I was doing was really important because it hadn't been done before. It wasn't that Ai Weiwei hadn't been covered before, but he hadn't been covered like this. You know, nothing as in depth that was also independent. Ai Weiwei putting things out about his life is not the same as an independent look at Ai Weiwei.
Was he trying to control the process with you at all?
Well, I was always wary of that because One thing that was immediately apparent about Ai Weiwei, he's an incredibly media savvy guy. My assessment was pretty much that I just wasn't the most important project on his radar. The main thing was to keep it so that he found my presence inoffensive and didn't mind if I kind of tagged along. I mean, there wasn't a crew with me when I was with him. It was just me and the camera. And so actually, sometimes I wish that he would care a little more about the film, as in if something good was going to go down, that if he would call me and tell me to come. He never did that, ever. Not a single time.
So here's this man that has become a symbol of bravery around the world who tells you that he's actually very, very scared. People think, oh, he's just pushing too hard. It's all going to catch up with him. And it does. And I'm not giving anything away because this was very well publicized. He disappeared for almost 3 months, about 81 days. And for a moment, we see him cowed. We see him tell the press, I'm sorry, I can't tell you what happened to me. I'm sorry. He just reappears. And for a moment, he does say, I'm so sorry. And my heart just sank, you know, to see this man kind of momentarily silenced. Was there any doubt in your mind that he'd be at it again?
That moment is, you know, literally right as he's released from this 81-day detention. It's the middle of the night. You know, he has had no contact with the outside world. I was editing the movie in New York, so I only came later. I was following online, and I spoke to him that night on the phone. But the footage of him returning was actually, you know, AP and Reuters footage, because by now his story for sure was being followed very closely by the whole world. The way he looks, so broken. I watched that footage over and over again. I got it, you know, within hours. I was heartbroken about it. At that moment, I guess, you couldn't know what the future was going to hold and how much this truly could have changed him. But it kind of didn't matter because in that moment, that will always be true. That is what even a person like Ai Weiwei looks like after 81 days of constant interrogation and watching and threats. I don't think it's shaken his principles. You know, if anything, he's sort of doubled down, you know, on saying, yes, free expression, rule of law, individual rights, these are all incredibly important and important for our society. But in terms of what's going to happen to Ai Weiwei personally with his own story, is still very much uncertain. He has a lot on his mind right now.
Alison Clayman, that great pleasure speaking with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Alison Clayman is a freelance journalist and filmmaker living in China. Her award-winning documentary feature, Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry, premieres tonight on PBS's Independence Lens. And you'll find links for local listings, for videos of Ai Weiwei, and much more on the film at wordofmouthradio.org, Facebook, or Mr. Ai's favorite medium, Twitter.